is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black with Bob Zimmerman, we're looking at the politics of space engineering. The Trump administration days away from taking command of NASA. And, Bob, a very good evening to you. NASA already has a major change. It has someone who has flown the Dragon spacecraft, Mr. Isaacman. At the same time, you're pointing to policy changes as well. What does it look like now? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. I've got this on Behind the Black pretty clearly. It appears the Trump administration has set up a five-person committee to review NASA's situation and propose major and, I think, positive changes for its many manned programs. Among the things they're considering is canceling SLS and possibly Orion, which I have been arguing since 2011. That's, what is that, 13 years ago? They are thinking of redesigning the entire Artemis program to make it more cost-effective, which, of course, means they'll use the private sector and replace SLS with private rockets, such as either New Glenn or Starship Super Heavy. They're also looking. They're going to try to set a new goal for landing humans on the moon in 2028, but that's just a photo op stuff. That's not really realistic. What's most interesting is they're talking about consolidating three NASA centers or space centers into one to reduce overhead. They're talking about taking Ames out in California and Goddard in Maryland, and consolidating them into the Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama, all in one place. And also reducing the size of NASA headquarters. NASA's putting out bids for a giant new headquarters building in D.C., and this transition team is considering the idea of reducing that the staff there significantly, because you don't need that many people when you're using private sector to do everything. What's interesting to me is that the Artemis program suggestions, I mean, SLS and Orion, are just simply the following recommendations that I've been making for years. I mean, it's not something that's rocket science. I'm no special here. Lots of people have been suggesting this for a lot of time, but the momentum is very much picking up, and I think politically it's becoming less painful to consider the idea of canceling SLS and Orion. The idea of reducing the centers and NASA headquarters, which is basically trying to reduce the overhead at NASA, is something that people have proposed for decades. Decades. Marshall, for example, has literally accomplished nothing since it launched Hubble. Pretty much nothing. It has proposed something like 24 replacements for the shuttle, none of which got built. And this applies to other centers as well. Some of them do good work, but you definitely could consolidate the NASA payroll in large amounts. And it hasn't happened. It was the only recommendation in my policy paper, Capitalism in Space, that NASA has not yet adopted. So that's really the radical part of this. And if they do it, it'll be a good thing. We will have to wait and see, but I think the politics will allow something like this to go on. Whether the actual centers that they've recorded, that we hear in these anonymous sources, maybe it'll be different NASA centers that'll get reduced or eliminated. But either way, there's now discussion about doing that, and that's a really good thing.
Bob, we're looking at layoffs, yes? Do they give an estimate of how many people?
Oh, no, we don't have anything specific, John. And these are right now anonymous sourced stories. It makes perfect sense, which is why I'm willing to put it out. But we don't have any specifics yet. And the politics here could change everything before this committee announces its proposals. This could be considered to be a trial balloon sent out to see what kind of reaction they get. And what they're getting is mostly positive reactions to the Artemis program changes and mixed results for the reducing of the centers. This is not a surprise, but I think it's mostly a trial balloon for that purpose.
And JPL, is that part of the reform as well?
Remember, JPL is not a NASA agency. It's an interesting hybrid. It's privately run by Caltech. It makes its money by winning contracts from NASA. So it's mostly NASA work and mostly NASA contracts, but it's privately run. So and it's actually a good way to do things. The same thing with APL at Johns Hopkins. They're both privately run by the university, and they win NASA planetary mission projects. And so there's less that NASA can do with those operations. But then again, they are focused on planetary program, and so they do that part of the job. And that's one of the reasons planetary program is efficient, because it doesn't have gigantic bureaucracy behind it. It has private competing companies.
Giorgia Meloni, the charismatic prime minister of the Italian government, has made it very clear that she is entertained by Elon Musk and entertained by the president-elect of the United States, visiting both often at events. And now Italy and Italian military and SpaceX. How so, Bob?
Yes, well, the European Space Agency announced recently that it is putting in something like $6 billion to build its own European Starlink system that will be launched something like in the next decade. But Italy's military looks at this and isn't really happy with it, because it means that for the next half decade to decade, they won't have a good satellite constellation to use for communications and surveillance and reconnaissance, especially communications. So Italy has decided to negotiate with Starlink, SpaceX, to use the Starlink constellation for communications over the next 5 years. They haven't signed the deal yet, but they're in negotiations. It would be about a $1.6 billion contract to SpaceX. This just illustrates two things. One, the European Space Agency's slow way of doing everything is encouraging its various member states to go out on their own. It's one of the reasons Germany has allowed three different rocket startups to start working independent of ESA and Arianespace. And it's an example here of why Italy's military is making this deal. They don't expect that European Space Agency satellite constellation to come on time or be as efficient. So they're making a deal now. They'll have the option to switch when the European system is up, but they will be better placed if they have Starlink as an option. The other thing this story illustrates is the good business sense of Elon Musk. He's moved to get Starlink in orbit ahead of everyone else very fast, and he's now reaping the cash benefit of that, because he's there and people who need it buy his services. By going slow, other companies and nations aren't getting that cash. And so that's the point of this story, John.
A bomb threat to SpaceX. Is this something we've seen before? I don't remember ever reporting such a thing.
There have been several stories about people trespassing on the Starlink Starbase property at Boca Chica, because it's right next to the road. It's really very close to public land, and the arrests from trespassing have taken place. But it's always been a concern that someone, even with a high-powered rifle, could get into a position and literally take out, put bullet holes in Starship or Super Heavy that would make it unflyable. There's been real concerns of that. And so this was a local in the Galveston area who camps along the beach there near the site, was talking to five male passengers of an SUV that pulled up right next to him in that area. And he said they appeared to be from the Middle East. And he asked them, "What are you all here for?" And the driver said, "Oh, we're here to blow Starship up." They had more conversations, and these guys said three times they were in South Texas to attack Starship. So he reported that to the FBI. The FBI is investigating. This might be nothing more than a joking conversation. But it does raise the real danger that Starship Super Heavy at Boca Chica faces from bad people. Because it's very hard to defend a rocket like that, so exposed, so close to the public. It's one of the reasons SpaceX is trying to get its Florida facilities operating, because they would be better protected.
Is Cape Canaveral more secure than Boca Chica?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Both. It's very easy in those launches to keep people 3 miles away. They have been doing it for 75 plus years. But remember, Cape Canaveral is a military base, and Kennedy Space Center is NASA's base, but both of them have lots of territory and a wildlife refuge around them, protecting wildlife. So no, it'd be very easy to protect things there. The trouble is, of course, they don't have approval yet or completed their facilities at Boca Chica, at Cape Canaveral, and they got to start flying this to test it and get it built.
And so the secure decision then would be to leave Boca Chica behind, because it's right across the border from Mexico. So you've got all kinds of threat possibilities coming out of Mexico without even worrying about the U.S. side.
There is, of course, the possibility of expanding Boca Chica like Florida's Kennedy Space Center was created, so that they're better protected from the public. There would be some resistance to that. But if they continue to bring billions and billions of dollars into the Brownsville area, I think that resistance will fade. They'll work it out so that it still can function. This is not settled yet. The real concern is the threat to the launch schedule at Boca Chica at the moment.
Except for the fish and wildlife threat. Yes, of course. We go to the FAA, our famous administrative regulator, and an environmental reassessment of the Boca Chica site. How's it going, Bob?
They've got this environmental reassessment approval of the Boca Chica site now up for public review, and they have to get it reviewed before they can approve the assessment approval. And so it had announced three public meetings, one of which would be virtual, in the Brownsville area for people to give public feedback on SpaceX's request to increase the launch rate of Starship Super Heavy to 25 launches per year at that site. And they've now canceled one of those public meetings, so it's now one public meeting in person and one virtual meeting. As I've said several times previously, it behooves the business community of the Brownsville area to make sure they show up in force at these meetings. Because I can guarantee you that the fringe anti-Musk activist groups that have been suing SpaceX repeatedly, though they have very little support in the Brownsville area, they're going to show up. They're going to be very organized, and they're going to show up. And if no one is there to counter their comments, it will give FAA cause to consider changing its approval and not approving Starship Super Heavy.
Not approving? We're still playing that game with.
Oh yes, this is if they don't get this environmental reassessment approved, they cannot increase their launch rate from what is it now 5 times a year to 25. And they want to have a high launch rate so they can test the rocket a lot of times.
Well, the narrative was going SpaceX way with Musk in Mar-a-Lago. Has it veered away from him?
FAA is just following its procedures right now. No new administrations come in to force a change. When Trump takes over, you could see this all go by the wayside, but it will not be easy, because once you establish precedents like this, it becomes very difficult to eliminate them. But we don't have a new administration yet.
Remind me, Bob, does the FAA have in its charter rocket ships, or did they invent that?
They invented that. In fact, that's our next story, John. Great segue. There was a news article at one of the space-related sites reviewing in detail the legislation that Congress passed in the last session that just ended related to space. And basically, they said not much was passed. This previous Congress passed very little new legislation. But there was one piece of legislation related to space that did get passed. It was an amendment to the 2004 Space Amendments Act that would extend what they call the learning period 3 more years. This learning period prohibits new FAA commercial human space flight regulations. It basically says that companies like Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin, with their space tourism, they're testing new ideas. They shouldn't have to go through regulations like an airline company. They should be free to experiment and fly frequent and often. And that learning period has been in effect through the end of 2024. This new legislation extended it till 2028. What I found interesting about that is it is a direct, FAA's regulations of SpaceX is a direct violation of this law. The way FAA has been regulating SpaceX the last 3 years, 4 years, has been a direct violation of this law. Because SpaceX's Starship Super Heavy is an experimental manned craft, and they need to learn how to fly it. And it's experimental. They need to learn how to fly it to get men into orbit, women and women into orbit, for the Artemis program. And the FAA has been treating it almost like an airline, and that's actually a violation of this law. That will be a major component in any Trump effort to shut the FAA down, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps... Bob, the fell to earth, I shot an arrow in the air. There's a mystery in Kenya. Have we settled the mystery of what fell out?
No, we don't know what it was, but in Kenya, at the end of the year, a large separation ring that they think came from a rocket stage fell on the ground. We've seen pictures of it. It surely does look as possibly from a rocket. We have no idea yet what rocket it was from. It has been, some people have said it might have come from a jet. I don't believe so, based on what I see, but we don't know yet what it is. But a piece fell down, and they shot it in the air, and it came back down, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.